Hey everyone, Josh here from Solopreneur Grind, and I am here with Katrina Widener, entrepreneur coach. Katrina, really appreciate you taking the time to chat today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Awesome, Katrina. So really cool stuff that you're working on. I love the website. I love the Instagram page, and was scrolling through the content today, as specifically your post about the burritos got me giggling. But for those who haven't checked out any of your stuff, can you tell us a little bit about you? And then let's get into kind of where you started, where that entrepreneurial journey began.
Sure. So I am a coach for entrepreneurs who are usually in the beginning stage of their business. So I like to say like level one. So usually right. They're either on their own or they have 1 to 5 contractors, interns, assistants, etc. And really what I focus on is empowerment, balance, and community. And so that's really mainly focusing on everything from mindset to marketing basics and beyond. I also run an entrepreneur book club here locally, and I'm based in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Right. Very cool. And so have you always been entrepreneurial? Was it in your blood? Did it start early? Did it start late?
It started late for me. So my background as a coach started as specifically life coaching, and then I moved a little bit more into business coaching as well. And when I was younger, it was definitely one of those things where I was like, I'm just going to have a career until I have a family, and then I'll stay home with my kids. And it wasn't until I was like basically in the moment where I'm trying to figure out what to do for my career, where to move next. I had worked for a huge company, then I'd freelanced, and then I'd worked for a really small company. None of them fit. That I was like, okay, so what was attractive to me about being a stay-at-home mom? What are the values that are in there? What are the strengths that I was attracted to? And how can I utilize that into my career? Because I kind of realized that it wasn't necessarily the idea of staying home with like children that was exciting to me, but it was more so having a direct impact on people's lives and having variety and freedom in my life and really being able to utilize my strengths and passions and interests in my day to day. And so that's when I realized that coaching would be a great way to kind of incorporate all of those strengths and values into a career.
Right. And when you were working at those companies and freelancing, what were you doing in those roles?
So my background is in journalism and in marketing. And so when I worked in a humongous company, I was actually working for Better Homes and Gardens magazine in their food department and really working online, doing a lot of writing, SEO, social media, that kind of stuff. And then I moved into more of the marketing world where I was a marketing specialist. And so then it was also kind of learning about newsletters and all of these other marketing aspects. And that's also partially why I knew that I wanted to incorporate business coaching along with life coaching so that I can use all of my background and learn more about that and really provide that information to my clients as well.
Right. And what was the thought process and the, I don't want to say motivation, but like where was your headspace at when you were thinking about making that first dive into the life coaching? Because obviously it was a little bit related, but still a bit of a new venture for you at that point. What was that point in time like?
Yes, that was definitely completely, I mean, at that point in time, I barely even knew what life coaching was.
Right.
I kind of was like, okay, so I know that this is a thing, but what does it actually mean? And so I had basically gotten to the point where I knew that I needed to get out of current job. I was very unhappy, and I knew that I wanted to do something new. But I also understood within myself that making just like a lateral shift wouldn't be a good enough change. Like just switching companies and not completely switching my focus wouldn't have been enough. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like, what are the things that really attract me about these? What are my values and what are the things that I am naturally attracted to and how can I utilize that? And so I thought about social work or becoming a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And then I did some research on life coaching, but I wasn't really sure exactly what that meant. So I actually contacted a coach myself and I trained under her and kind of really got that clarity that I needed with a coach. And since then, I've also keep going back to coaching myself because I really believe that having that guide or mentor makes a big difference. I mean, you can decide that you want to move in a direction, but if you've never done it before or you don't really know very much about it, it can be very overwhelming and it can frankly be really scary. And so having someone to kind of lead you through that and be your guide takes a bit of the edge off.
Right. The life coach for your life coaching training.
Exactly.
Could you tell us a little bit more about it? Because I know it's a pretty popular path to go down in terms of profession. And I know that it's popular for a reason because more and more people are using them. So I'm wondering just a little bit more about what actually is a life coach from the perspective of maybe someone who wants to be one and or someone who might think that they need one themselves.
Yeah. So if you think about a fitness coach, that's basically the easiest way to describe it. You can look up online how to do a workout. You can go to the gym and buy a membership and show up yourself, but maybe you won't have the same experience or the same quality of an exercise that you would if you have someone who specializes it and knows how to do it and can lead you through that. And I really equate life coaching to the same thing. And I focus in on entrepreneur coaching because that can lead to a lot of imposter syndrome and confidence issues and self-doubt and really a lack of clarity in which direction you need to focus in, et cetera, et cetera. So it's one of those things where it's like you could Google online how to be more mindful or how to change your mindset or the exercises to go through to master basic marketing or really kind of get rid of that imposter syndrome. But the thing is that if you have someone who specializes it and who really knows exactly which exercises are like time and time again proven to be the most effective and know how to get you in that mindset to move forward and to gain more self-confidence or to really be in the place where you can bring success into your life, it's more so having somebody who's done it before and knows the exact way to do it that's going to be the most effective as opposed to trying to do it on your own.
Gotcha.
And so coaching used to kind of be like this like woo-woo, like, oh, so you just don't have your life together, like kind of association. Mm-hmm. And that's not really what it is anymore. It's more so just being like you go to a fitness coach in order to get the most out of that experience. So why wouldn't you go to an entrepreneur coach or a health coach or a life coach to get the most out of those experiences?
For sure. And what were the first, let's say, 6 months like when you took the plunge and did you decide to go all in on the life coaching? Were you still freelancing or doing anything part-time on the side, or did you decide to go all in? And if so, what did that look like?
I would say probably the first 4 to 5 months of building my business, I was still working at my full-time job. And that really gave me the opportunity to build a website, get my first clients, have a social media account, really get those like first stepping stones done while I had income coming in. Mm-hmm. And it was actually funny when I started working with my coach, I told her, I was like, I want to be out of my full-time job by the end of the calendar year. I was like, I need to be out of here. It's not like the best place for me. It was definitely affecting my mental health. And I was like, I need to get out of here. And I had gotten to the point where I was like, okay, so I need only X amount more clients and then I'll be comfortable leaving. And they actually called me into their office and they were like, you know, your role is becoming more and more administrative and we're not sure that this is the right fit for you. So if you would like to, this would be the time to, instead of training for more administrative work, to kind of take a step back. And I was like, this is the perfect timing. I've actually been doing my own thing. And so I ended up leaving on great terms with my company, but that did mean I was leaving before I felt like I was 100% ready. And in the end, that ended up being totally fine because I jumped right into my business at the beginning of the year. This was the beginning of 2018, so a little over a year ago, I've been full-time. And it was something where I was just like, you know what, like I have the time and I could get another job, but I don't want another job. This is what I've been working toward anyway. So I really went full in, and it was contacting other entrepreneurs that I had never met before, going to a ton of networking events, really focusing on optimizing my website for search engines and really getting as much visibility as I possibly could. And like, I won't pretend that it was just like easy, because it's not, but it was work that I felt fulfilled by and work I got excited about. And so because that was something that I really felt passionate about, I was able to move forward and really create a living off of what I was doing.
Right. And it sounds like a lot of that work experience played in perfectly. You said, it's going to help with the marketing stuff, the SEO mm-hmm. stuff that you had picked up, which is awesome. Could you give someone, maybe there's people that are listening. There's probably people that are listening who are still working their 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. Maybe they know what they want to do. Maybe they don't. In order to give a realistic expectation, how long did it take you to, I find it hard to explain this kind of principle in words, but like, I don't want to say make it, because I don't know if we ever really fully make it. I actually wrote about that in my daily email this morning. But how long did it take you to get enough or even just a few clients where you kind of felt like, okay, I'm on the right path here?
Mm-hmm. I would say, so when I had been doing both my business and working in my full-time job, I had clients, but I had a very small amount of clients. I was trying not to overwhelm myself. I was trying not to get burnt out. Mm-hmm. So then when I quit my job, and I knew that I needed to get clients immediately, but it still took several months to really get into that groove. And I would say it probably took 5 months. And for me, I was lucky enough that when I left my job, I was offered severance.
Oh, great.
And I owned shares in the company, so I had a profit sharing at the end of the year. And so in addition to my own savings, I kind of had this fallback.
Right.
And so it was able to sustain me through those months when I was maybe not 100% bringing in the amount of money that I needed to be working or to be surviving really on that income. But thankfully, I was able to kind of have that cash to sustain me through those months. And that is one of the things that I like to tell people who are kind of considering quitting their job or moving forward with their own business, is you can't expect to be able to work as hard on your job as you are, or as you would be if you're full-time just in your business, mm-hmm. as you would if you're doing a business and a job. But you can have those savings. You could like decide the number that you want in your bank account and then work toward that. So then you have a clear indication of when you are at least financially ready. And that having that kind of back cash, I guess, mm-hmm. it makes it a little bit less scary. When I quit my job, I had someone tell me that it was almost like you're a trapeze artist and you're letting go of if one hand before you capture something else with the next hand.
Right.
And there's that moment. Yeah. It's like, there's that moment of free fall where you just kind of have to trust that you're going to grab onto something in the next couple months. And the thing to also remember, and this is what I also tell my clients all the time, is to remember what is literally the worst thing that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because if you quit your job and you're going several months and you're like, okay, I can't afford this, I'm not bringing in enough clients, the worst thing that's going to happen is you just get another job. It's mm-hmm. not like you're going to go bankrupt or lose your house or any of those things. You just find another way to start bringing in some more money. And that's the worst case scenario. And it kind of makes it feel not as scary.
Right. And it almost sounds like you had the perfect, maybe not the perfect, but a really good scenario, because you had built up enough savings and enough of that profit sharing to kind of, you know, keep the roof over your head. But because you cut off the reliable stream of income, that extra added motivation, you know, will help burn a fire under your belly too.
Exactly.
Almost like the best of both worlds in that case. Katrina, I'm wondering about how you approached and succeeded in getting those first few clients, especially while you were still working. There are so mm-hmm. many life coaches out there. I can only imagine how competitive it is. And I'm interested to know what your approach was and how you were able to, and still are able to bring in new clients.
Yeah. So at the end of every year, I try to kind of take stock of what happened in the last year of my business. And so where most of my clients came from, where I'm devoting my energy, what's worthwhile, et cetera, et cetera. And I actually post it all on my blog, because I figure, you know what, if this is something that I'm doing that's helpful for myself, it's probably helpful to be that transparent for other new entrepreneurs who are coming up. And really the main ways that I get my clients, number one, is always either in person or referrals. I am an extrovert. I love people. People is one of my largest values, which is why this job is so great for me. But that also means I get to go to networking events and actually be excited, and I can go by myself and have no problem talking to somebody and just being like, hey, can I hang out with you for the night? Mm-hmm. And that has proven time and time again to really get me access to people who will know, like, and trust me before they ever even see my website. And right. So my number one is definitely referrals. When I was first starting out, even when I was within my own 9-to-5 job, my very first client, I reached out to an old friend and I was like, hey, like, you seem like someone who'd be interested in doing this. Would you like to be my trial run? And so I actually did coaching for my very first client pro bono, because I was like, you know what? This is, we're figuring out together. Like, you're going to get me kind of using some techniques I haven't done before, but helping me get that experience. And she's getting coaching in return. And that also ended up being really great because I had gotten several referrals from her. I got an amazing testimonial from her that I could immediately put up on my website. And it also gave me the self-confidence to be like, you know, I am really good at this. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my time. And then I was more comfortable selling to other people as well, because I knew exactly how worthwhile it was.
For sure.
Yeah. After referrals and in person, my next is actually social media, whether it's a Facebook group or people contacting me on my Instagram page. That's definitely my number two. And then my number three is search engine optimization. So I get people coming to me from Google as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, referrals are obviously huge, and the networking events, I think, are such a great opportunity for anyone, no matter what industry or what you're doing. That's what I did when I started as well. And I'm interested to know, Katrina, do you have any tips for people who aren't extroverted and want to take advantage of something like networking events that may seem very daunting for them, as opposed to someone like you who was able to obviously embrace it and do really well at it?
Yeah. So I would say the number one thing to think about if you are not an extrovert is to find the right networking group for you. So I know here in the Twin Cities where I live, we have very large events, but we also have small discussions, or even like the Entrepreneur Book Club that I run. I don't let more than 20 people into that. So it's more of a community, more of an intimate setting where you actually really get to know the people around you. And so as an extrovert, I can go to a huge event and talk to somebody and it won't matter. But if you're an introvert, or you're maybe not as comfortable in networking events, get started in those smaller meetups. They may even seem a little bit more intimidating because you're going to be more likely to be noticed and talked to, mm-hmm. but that's where you're going to have real discussions. And honestly, that's where you're going to make the better connections. What I've always learned is, like, if you are going to a networking event and you're just selling yourself, or you're handing out your business cards, and you're not interested in making actual friendships and genuine connections, it's not going to work for you. But the networking events that I've had the best success at would be times when it's like, come, let's have a discussion about this topic. You share what you know, they'll share what they know. And because it allows me to kind of position myself in that educator role when we are talking about a specific topic, then that leads to people being more interested in getting more information from me later on. And it can even be as simple as saying, like, if you're interested in more, just, like, find me after the meeting and we can chat. Like, it doesn't have to be a hard sell. But it's also where I've gotten to meet a lot of good friends. It doesn't have to only be business focused. And that's why I'm, like, so passionate about community. And it's one of the things I focus on with my clients, is because as entrepreneurs, we can often be isolated, especially if we're working from home. And so we don't get that, like, natural kind of ebb and flow that you might get within a workplace where you're working with other people and kind of getting feedback, et cetera, et cetera. But it also can be something where you see, especially, for instance, I have several clients who are wedding photographers, and there are hundreds of thousands of wedding photographers out there. Mm-hmm. And so it can seem really overwhelming, and it can seem like we're in this industry where I'm fighting for like everything that I can get. But when you actually go out and you meet people and they're like, you know, I'm feeling that way too, or this is my experience, or you can commiserate with someone else, it really makes it less intimidating.
Yeah, that was a lot of great points there. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, the other thing I would recommend is if you're nervous about going, invite someone to come with you. Mm-hmm. Like, have a buddy. I would just say, if you bring a buddy, don't just hang out with your buddy in the corner all night. Make sure to, like, set a goal of, I'm going to talk to at least one person while I'm here. And right. I've been at networking events where someone has walked up to me and been like, are you Katrina? And I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I follow you on Instagram. I'm like, oh, great. It's nice to meet you.
Right. So,
but every single time that's happened, I'm more excited than, like, they should never be embarrassed for it, basically. Like, I'm excited to meet them. I'm excited to get to know them and have those conversations.
For sure. That was a great answer coming from an extrovert, because as an introvert, I could relate to a lot of those things, especially going to smaller events. I'm just not a big fan of being in a crowd of hundreds of people, and the smaller events tend to be intimate in a good way, because I think what a lot of people don't realize is introverted doesn't necessarily mean you don't like to socialize. It's just
right.
We prefer more of the one-on-one or the small group type of environment. And mm-hmm. So the other thing that you pointed out that I really connect with is you don't have to go and treat it like a sales opportunity, right? Treat it as you're trying to meet new people and learn from new people and create new connections. I've made some really close friends from networking events, and not only do you benefit from that friendship, but then you tap into their network as well, and you never know what could happen in terms of business and sales down the road. So exactly. Really, really great stuff there, Katrina. And then, so what's the next step? You spend these 5-6 months, you get the ball rolling, the snowball is slowly getting bigger. What's the next stage, or what's the current stage of where the company's at?
Yes. So, last year was my first year full-time, and my entire focus was one coaching. So me and one other person working on your goals, and it was something that I absolutely loved, and I'm so glad that I did it, and I'm going to continue to do it. But this year, 2019, has really been about what's the next step, what's coming afterward. And so in the first quarter, I created an online workbook that's really basically all about self-discovery. And so whether you are maybe in a place where you're like, okay, I'm not happy with how my life is going, I'm not waking up every day excited for what's going on, and that could be as an entrepreneur or as someone in a like traditional 9-to-5 job. You right. can run your own business and still not be excited to work on it every single day. And so it really takes you through that process that I kind of went through, where it was like, what are my strengths? What are my goals? What are my values? And so you get the self-discovery aspect, and then you also kind of get some basic goal setting at the end of it. So it leads you to figure out what are goals that are aligned with who you are and really authentic to you as a person, and then how can we put them into action. And so that was what I was focusing on for the first quarter of this year, because I really wanted to say, here is a way to get everything that's in the first month of working with me one-on-one, but at a more affordable price point, because that makes it so that somebody who maybe has been thinking about coaching, but really just can't afford it right now, or doesn't have the time for it right now, they can still get started on self-development and moving in the direction that they want to end up in. And so I've been really, really excited to have that come out at the beginning of the year. But then the next step of what I'm focusing on right now is group coaching. And so it's basically a way that you can get that community, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, and it's going to be a group of 20 or less, but you have that sense of community while you're going through coaching. So then you don't feel like you're doing it alone. You don't feel like you have no one to turn to when you have these questions that come up about your business. But then you're also getting expert advice. So I'm bringing in speakers that are for branding, copywriting, legal, accounting, et cetera, all of these type of topics that we are supposed to know as entrepreneurs, but most of us are not going to have the training for all of these different areas. I mean, I feel lucky enough that I had marketing and writing, et cetera, training when I came into my business. But that doesn't mean that I knew anything about contracts or how to do taxes and all those types of things.
Yeah, tax season is hitting me now, and oh my gosh.
Yes.
I have a BCom. I took tax in undergrad, and it's just still, oh my God. It's just not fun.
Thankfully, I learned a lot of tax things when I was a freelancer, so right. I was able to remember to keep all my receipts and all those kind of things. But it's not something you intuitively know when you're first starting your business. Unless, right. I guess, you're starting an accounting business.
Right. Can I ask you, Katrina, how you came up with those two ideas for the new products or services? And the reason I ask is twofold. Number one is they sound really cool. I don't like using cool normally, but they sound unique and really interesting. I'm definitely going to have mm-hmm. to check out that workbook, especially that really piqued my interest. And the second reason is because in more of a business sense, it seems like you're ready to scale up, right? Something yes. like a workbook yep. you can sell and you don't have to spend time on it personally. The group coaching, you're handling more people at once. So that's really great to hear, but really would like to know how you decided on those two products or services.
Yes. So I think the reason why I created the workbook, and there is even a reason why I created the workbook first, is I can then utilize that information from the workbook with my clients or with the group coaching. So it's mm-hmm. it's a resource that's already created. And the number one reason why I decided to do that is because I do think that there are people who come to me and who want to work together, but get to that point where they can't afford it. And I really want to be able to still help them. Like, it's one of those things that is probably one of my most frustrating aspects of being a coach, is when you have a consult call and you really like that person and they really like you and you really want to work together, but they just can't.
Right.
And it's one of those things where it's like, I totally get it and I want them to do what's best for them. But being able to offer this other option is a way to serve them better. And it's something that I don't have to come up with something every single time. It's easier for me. It's easier for them. Overall, it's way better for both of us. Right. And so that was the main reason why I wanted to do the workbook. The main reason why I wanted to do the group coaching is because I love community and I love being around other people. And the idea of being able to help 15 to 20 people in the same amount of time that it would take me to help one person, mm-hmm. it just makes more sense. It's something I love doing and it helps my clients even more. So why wouldn't I move in that direction?
Right. And it's really funny, I want to say, to hear that answer, because what I'm noticing now is I just had another guest on, actually the previous episode, Michelle. We were talking about how she came up with certain products or certain prices. And it's really nothing too extravagant, right? Like, you're not doing any crazy math or like crazy research. In this case, you want more of a community, or you want to cater to a, you know, lower income, let's say, demographic. Mm-hmm. And so you just did it, which is really awesome. And it makes you realize, as an entrepreneur or a wantrepreneur, that sometimes we just spend so much time thinking and planning and overthinking. Whereas what I'm noticing from, you know, all of you successful entrepreneurs, and I'd like to think I can be included in that crowd, is yes, you want to think and plan a little bit, but it's all about taking action, right?
Right. And it's also like, I think if you look at my industry, online passive income is something that's working. Mm-hmm. Masterminds and group coaching are things that are working. I'm just taking that idea and making it true to me. So I posted something actually on my Instagram recently that was basically like, if you think of the old quote, do what you love and the money will follow, mm-hmm. and you turn it on your head and it's do what you love and follow the money. So it's a way for me to be like, these are things that are tried and true and are working for other entrepreneurs. I'm just making them my own. I'm making them something I'm excited about. And mm-hmm. that's the area that I get really, really passionate about. So that means the energy I'm putting into that, other people are going to see how excited I am and see how much value I find in these products. And that's going to be what's going to get them more excited than if I was just like, well, I decided that I was going to do this product because it will make me X amount of money and it seems working in this realm, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Right. Yeah. That makes, don't rewrite the script, right? You're exactly. taking successful scripts and adapting them, using your tone of voice.
Real, exactly. And it really is about, I'm very passionate about having your business be something that's aligned with who you are and what your values are and what your strengths are, because that's why I got into my business. And I was lucky enough to have that foundation from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, it can lead to a lot of frustration or a lot of months and months of maybe not making a lot of money because you're doing something you're not excited about. And I really want your business to work for you instead of working for a business.
Right, right. This is really great stuff, Katrine. It's been awesome hearing about the how you got started, the evolution. I want to finish with just a couple questions on some practical advice for people who maybe they're just getting started, maybe they're still working their 9-to-5 and they have no idea what they want to do, but they know they want to do something else, you know, like you were unhappy and they know they need something more. Do you have any advice for people that are feeling lost? They don't know what next step to take. Let's start there. And then I have one or two more questions kind of along those same lines.
Yeah. So I think the very first thing is to do that personal development, do that self-discovery. Because you can, if you're like, I know that I want to do something different, or I know I want to start my business, but I'm not exactly sure what area to move forward in or what to focus on or what services to offer, et cetera, et cetera. It really is, like I was saying, you want it to be aligned with who you are. And the first step of doing that is figuring out who you are. And of course, that's going to be something you will be constantly learning and evolving over the course of your lifetime. But you can sit down and figure out, what are my values, or what are the things that I get excited about? What are the points of day that I like who I am when I'm doing these things? And what are the things that I do that I don't necessarily like who I am while I'm doing them? Right. And so if you don't like the type of person you are in your 9-to-5 job, then that means that you should either be finding a new job or be starting your own business or whatever it might end up being. Mm-hmm. And really identifying when you do like who you are in those moments or what your values are, it kind of gives you that foundation of, okay, so I know that I know I like people. I know I like directly helping them. I know I like variety. What type of jobs are out there where I can directly help someone one-on-one? Right. And then I just explored the job options and found the one that felt the most right to me. And it was as simple as that. And I think that there's a lot of times when we can kind of get caught up in the, well, this one has an average income of XYZ, or this one seems to have security and the right benefits. I mean, you can figure everything out. I'm self-insured, so benefits can still happen as an entrepreneur. And it's more so really being like, what's going to bring me contentment and joy, and what's going to fill me up at the end of the day? Because otherwise, you'll still run into that same problem over and over and over again.
Right. Yeah, that's a great approach. And what about for the people who are on their journey, or they're just starting, and they don't have any marketing experience, don't even know what SEO stands for, or maybe they do. Mm-hmm. How would you recommend people get started in terms of marketing or social media, or you know, should they start a blog, or kind of just how to approach it in general?
Yeah, so I would say first and foremost, Google is your friend. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, Pinterest is your friend. There's going to be a ton of information on there. But the thing is like, if you're wondering which marketing approach to take, which one do you like?
Right.
I don't post on Twitter because I don't like Twitter. I've never liked Twitter. I've never been able to be a consistent tweeter. And so I don't have a business Twitter account. I used to be a writer, so I have a blog. Writing is easy for me. I have written all of the blog posts for this entire year already because I can sit and write 7 posts in a day. It's easy right. for me. It's something I can do. So if you love video, do video. If you love writing, do writing. If you love Instagram, get started on Instagram. And I would really move forward in the places, especially at the beginning, that are easier for you, because then you're not going to be as frustrated. You're not going to be struggling as much. I mean, if you mm-hmm. like talking, have a podcast. But don't do something just because your competition is doing it. And don't do something just because someone has told you to do with it. It goes back to making your business work for you. Move forward in the areas that excite you. Because if you're not, it's going to come through and no one is going to be excited by your marketing either.
Right.
That's I would say the point. Second most important thing to do is make sure that you know who your client is, because that's the biggest trick to marketing, is finding your client where they are and then providing them what they need. Someone will purchase from you because they like your product, but someone will come back and purchase from you time and time again because they like you, because you're speaking to them in their language, because you're providing them with education or inspiration that is helpful for them. It's not about you, it's about them.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely great advice, especially with number one. The other thing you'll find is if you try everything, you'll just be overwhelmed, right?
Oh, definitely.
Put out that much content. So those are great points. Katrina, really appreciate you coming on the show. The last thing I'd like to hear is, what are those resources that you rely on? So when you were Googling stuff or Pinteresting stuff, I don't know if that's a verb.
Now.
What were you looking up or listening to or watching that helped you?
So for instance, I'm a life coach. I listen to the Life Coach School podcast all the time. Mm-hmm. It is constantly providing me more help, more information, et cetera, et cetera. Like I said, I also worked with a coach. So all of the exercises I needed to learn, all of that kind of stuff, I was able to get that help. And I was also able to kind of get that confidence boost of like, you're doing the right thing. This is where you're supposed to be. but also, I mean, like, my SEO, I have worked in search engine optimization beforehand. That is something that I have experience in. I still took an online course just to make sure that I was doing everything I could possibly do. Mm-hmm. And there are a ton of courses out there. So like, I would just find someone that you know, like, and trust and go forward in that direction. I took an online Instagram course just because I wanted to get a little bit more information and optimize my Instagram page a little bit better. And right. When I look at entrepreneurship, I don't think that I personally will ever stop taking courses, joining masterminds or group coaching, work with coaches, et cetera, because the more that I'm learning, the more that my clients are learning, and the more value I'm able to provide, and the better that I am at my job. And so really, like, keep learning. And if you don't know something, it's nothing to be like, feel ashamed of. It's something to move in that direction more. And I honestly, every time that I read a new blog post or listen to a new podcast episode, and I get even just like a little bit more information, it makes me better. And moving in that direction, I don't think that there's any point of time when we're done learning. And so just keep learning, keep taking in everything, keep reading, keep listening, keep watching, because no matter what, it's going to move you forward in that direction.
Awesome. That's great advice, Katrina. Again, really appreciate you coming on the show. Where can people find out more about you, about your business, you in general?
Yeah. So I primarily post on my website and then on my Instagram account. So you can find my website at www.katrinawidener.com. And then my Instagram handle is katrina.widener. So super easy, nothing fancy.
And we'll make it even easier. We'll post those links in the description so everyone can find you easily. Katrina, thank you again for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Awesome. All the best.
Hey everyone, Josh here, checking in just one last time. Wanted to say thanks so much for listening to the podcast episode. I hope you got a ton of value out of it. And if you want to keep getting more of the Solopreneur Grind content, make sure to join the email list. What I do is send 3 emails a week with additional content, such as what's going on in the background of my solopreneur journey, insights I'm having on business, and updates when new podcast episodes like these come out as well. It's free. It always will be. The link to join is in the description of whatever podcast platform you're listening this to on. Really hope to have you on the list and continuing to share these awesome solopreneur journeys and insights with you as well. Have a great day and hope to see you soon.